The following was recorded in front of a live studio audience at the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe. This is the United Podcast Network.
It's the Cigar Authority After Show, and it's brought to you by Roma Craft Tobacco. Since 2010, Mike Rosales and Skip Barton have focused on the simple and time-honored task of combining quality tobacco, experienced craftsmen, and the right amount of time to bring you cigars worthy of the legacy of the centuries of premium cigar craftsmen that came before them. Whether you are revisiting the anti-prohibition era mindset of intemperance or getting in touch with your more primal side with a Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal, you are sure to find a blend in the Roma Craft House of Brands that fits the exact balance of flavor, strength, and body you are looking for in that moment. When you're finally able to take a short break from the world to relax and enjoy a cigar, the last thing you need is a complicated sales pitch. Simple, yet substantial. Tobacco, talent, time. Roma Craft Tobacco.
The After Show. It's the After Show, everybody. Immediately following the regular show, which is not aired until Wednesday. Happy Wednesday, hump day.
Also, Prince Spaghetti Day.
Prince Spaghetti Day for those from... It was a New England thing.
I think so,
only
yeah.
The New England people, but it was a macaroni.
Do we have to hump today?
You don't have to, no.
No, I think you have to.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a requirement.
All right, I will.
Yeah, I will. Just go hump.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it doesn't matter what I'm humping.
Dry, no. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay, good. That poor couch is going to get a workout.
So I did a editorial. I haven't done one in quite a while, but we talked, I believe it was in the After Show about it. I got a little into my issue with the pricing that was going on and coming back from the trade show and see people made it. I made a call just... rolled off the tongue of the McAuliffe effect, saying something was the McAuliffe effect. Boy, that caught on.
Yeah.
And then I heard from three different manufacturers.
I was wondering if you got pushback on it.
I got three different ones.
Good,
interesting.
Bad?
Two were good. One was bad, but one came around after the discussion, I think.
That was probably Steve Saka. That's my guess. Because it started off bad. You don't have to answer that.
But it always starts off bad.
So I decided at that moment to double down. And after hanging the phone up on the third phone call on the subject, which was nice to hear, of all the things, one little segment of one thing triggered three manufacturers to actually make the call, let alone how many didn't make the call and thought about it or whatever. So I said, there's something here. Let me put this in writing and get a little deeper into what I feel had happened and then put it out as an editorial. I did throw it at, it was either Dan or Ed Santa Maria, one of them, and said, you don't want to do this.
Hmm.
And I said, no, I do.
Sounds like an Ed thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, there's nothing wrong here. Because I wasn't calling out names in the article on the negative side. I did it on the positive side of it. I have some negatives, though, that as I dig into it today on the show, I could call out things. And it's not on a negative. You know you did it. You know you said, let me see how much I can get for this. But let me go through this article a little bit. It was called The Cigar Industry, Balancing Cause and Effect. In the complex web of the cigar industry, cause and effect plays a pivotal role shaping the landscape and influencing trends. Newton's third law of motion, which I got a lot of shit for, and people telling me what the first law of motion is, was that Skip Martin? I think it was Skip Martin.
It was.
Yeah. Which was not a phone call, but a message. Which the first law of motion is that object in motion stays in motion.
Correct.
Unless it's done. It made me laugh out loud, actually. Newton's third law of motion suggests that every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Find significance in the dynamics of today's cigar marketplace. Because as I was doing it, I was saying, what is this? I didn't have a cause and effect. I didn't know what I'm calling this editorial. But as I got into it, I went back to the top and said, you know what? This is cause and effect.
Well, you've been bitching about this particular thing for roughly 14 years, now in our 15th year.
I would say 2 years.
You've been, oh, when I tell you what you've been saying, and it has to do with copycatting, because that's exactly what happens. Someone comes out with an original idea and they say, okay, here's an unbelievable story for why this cigar should be $50. And then someone else says, oh, well, I can write a story like that. And then they write a story. And then next thing you know, people are just coming out with $50, $60, $80, $100 cigars. No story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it went way back. You remember all that found tobacco? Yes. That was a thing for we found all these bales. We had no idea we had them.
Right. Crazy. The recent disruption in the industry, of recent days, is the soaring prices. And as I looked at that, the multiple factors included COVID-19, and there were reasons there. So as we saw prices go up there, but when you're putting a new line out, it's a different thing than saying, okay, here's my lighter, used to be $20. Guess what? It's $25 now. Yeah. You know why? Shipping costs, blah, 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 the cost of this. Yeah. The
incremental price increases are understandable, but just coming out at a crazy price, I don't know.
And for an existing product that already has a fan base built into that. COVID-19 pandemic disrupts the global chain, and we saw leisure activities that had to stop. More people got into cigars because they could redirect their consumption to other things. Stimulus package that sent money into the economy. And now you see that that is all over. And now we have a problem.
Yeah, you saw a bump when those checks came out.
Yes, of course. I did. So now you have manufacturers, what I believe is greed, because you can take, let's say, an average cigar to produce with the tobacco and the labor cost and to get it into the U.S., without marketing or anything, but just the raw materials of producing that cigar is $3. And everything took about a 20% increase in costs, which is astronomical. It's terrible what happened the past 2 years. 20% more in costs. We're talking 60 cents. But the average cigar that was $7 now went up to 20. That is not...
That's not 20%.
And it's 20% on the cost of goods. You can't carry that all the way through. That the retailer's not making an extra 20%. They're going to make their margin of what it is. The only person is the cost of the good that went up 20% and then trickle through. So it should not be that dramatic of what it is. But there ends up being some cigars that did come out and got popular where $20 cigars were absurd, and I'm going to go back 12 years ago. We started taking Atabey on, and it was absurd that there was another $20 cigar in the marketplace because that was owned by three brands, Padron, Opus X, and
Davidoff.
That's it. How dare this other person come in? Well, I took a liking to it because I smoked the cigar. I heard the story of the cigar. Post-rolled aging. Nobody does that. Gets a cigar, ages it after the cigar is made to any length of time. Yeah, they may hang on to it for a few months or something, but not years, and not through this lowering and raising. What does that really have anything to do with? Let me smoke the cigar. I'll be damned. My God, the cigar is unbelievable. Explain to me how this happens again. Had them on the show. Had them visit the store. Oh, my God, there's really something to this thing that's happening. Why doesn't anybody copy and do it? Because it takes 5 years and a lot of work, and nobody else is going to do it. He's looking to see, this is Nelson Alfonso, looking to see if somebody is going to copy this process of what he's doing. And the answer is no, it's too expensive to end up doing it. But that's why the cigar was expensive.
Right.
I don't know why the other cigars are as expensive as they are. Let's take Opus X. They were the first ones to actually make a cigar and use Dominican wrapper filler binder. They made an all Dominican cigar. It couldn't be done. The research and development was astronomical to end up having it. And the cigar comes out at $10, which at that time in the 90s was, wow, this is expensive. Okay, here it is all this time later. They still didn't go to $50 a cigar or anything, but they have their special
Special
fancy
shape,
ones.
Special wrappers or something,
But it seems like that Atabey ends up saying to everybody else, okay, it wasn't reserved for just these three other people. You can come in here, two if you want. And then we saw them start to come in. Last year, Rocky Patel comes in at $100. A couple of years before that, Steve Saka came in at $100. Davidoff comes in with their Royal release, which was at the time $35. Then it became $50. Then it became $100 and went to $150. Over the past 4 years, it went from $35 to $150. It's the same cigar. How is this possible? Why is it? Because they think they can do it. And I think it's nothing but greed. The Fuente Padron comes in at close to $200 per cigar.
Crazy.
Monte Cristo at the trade show, $150 per cigar. And Oliva comes in at a $300 cigar. Now I'm saying, listen, this is the industry I love and care for. You're fucking ruining it.
But Dave, the $300 Oliva, you can get it through the catalogs for like $3, right?
Yeah.
I thought that's the way they work.
That's how it'll end up being, that's for sure. And then I go to the trade show this year, and I see the market has changed. That the same people that were putting cigars out for $100 last year, take a Rocky Patel, for instance. And Rocky, I don't mean to beat you up. It's just an example that I have off the top of my head. But there was your $100 cigar. And I know you're going to use it in Europe, and it's got its place or whatever it ends up happening. But here comes Rocky Patel Gold. Now, I hear Rocky Patel Gold, the name. I haven't seen it yet. Well, last year he came out with a $100 cigar. What's Rocky Patel Gold going to be? And I'm going to the booth, and I'm like, they're going to friggin' try to sell me this Rocky Patel Gold. And they hand me the cigar, and I go, wow, this looks nice. I light it up, and I go, how expensive is it? And they said, $9. And I said, you got to be shitting me. This is really good. Oh, my God. Well, let me try to guess. Was it that the $100 cigar went so well that he said, this is going so good, and we can't even keep up with making $100 ones. Let's make some $9 ones. No, I don't think it worked out.
Do you think
out.
There's a mindset of if you have a $100 one, like it has always worked with humidors, you end up with a very expensive humidor that's a few $1,000s, and it makes the $500 humidor not look so expensive?
You got to stick with your brand, who you are. That Rocky Patel was a working man's brand. It was for the regular guy. It was never the Davidoff of cigars. It was the regular working guy, and he moves millions and millions and millions of units of that brand. How do you come out with a $100 version of that brand? You're not on brand at that point. Davidoff cigars
are
very—
Thank you, Dan, for that.
Really? No, and listen, Monte Cristo, in the U.S. market— That was a $10 cigar just a few years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And now they said, well, the Cubans are getting $100 for their cigar. Let's come out with the Nicaraguan version from the same person, A.J. Fernandez, that makes that cigar, and let's come out with a $150 version of it. That cigar, maybe it was $18, the 1935.
Yeah. And it was
great
worth
cigar
that.
And worth every penny of it.
Yep.
Now you jump the shark, right? I don't know how this cigar tastes. I'm insulted to try it. I don't want to do it. I think you're doing a bad thing. You want to do it and say, let me put that cigar over in China because they want to spend $150 a cigar. I'm telling you, as the guy that has three retail stores for almost 40 years now, the customer doesn't want to do it. I don't want to do it to the customer.
No.
Imagine he has a bad experience with it, and he goes, last time I came here, I spent $150 on a cigar, and the freaking thing didn't even burn good. I didn't like what it tastes like and all this stuff like this. What am I going to say? I didn't make you buy it, buddy.
Well,
it doesn't matter. He's not happy.
You're almost guaranteed that somebody who spends $150 is going to be disappointed. It's almost a guarantee.
Guaranteed.
You're lighting $150 right. on fire.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how good it is.
I don't even want somebody to give it to me as a gift.
No.
I don't want him to give it because now I have to feel like I love it to the guy that gave me a $150 cigar.
Now, what
Please
are you
don't do that.
Sit there and say, well, it's a good $10 cigar.
You insult him, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best cigar I ever had in my life? Mm. That isn't the case either.
No.
You don't want to lie to him.
Don't you expect the $150 cigar to be the best cigar you ever had in your life?
It better be.
But it is.
So it will win Cigar Aficionado Cigar of the Year, right? Because it's the best cigar I've ever made if it's $150.
How much do they spend on advertising?
That's where it comes down to. I got more to get to, but first, let's make some beautiful music with Avo Cigars.
From moments worth remembering to stories worth telling and notes worth savoring, Avo Cigars. Lyrics of top charted songs. Can you guess the name of the song and the artist from the wrong lyrics or even the right ones? Avo Cigars.
Let's make some beautiful music.
I hope so.
With Avo. I'm finishing my first page. This will be the last one on the page.
And then the game's over?
No, I have 10 more pages after this. But first page is done. I'm going to play a little game on myself, which is who do I think is going to get the answer to this? And the answer right now for me is Ed Sullivan.
It's always Ed Sullivan.
So it's not one
of the first person that's going to click the button is Jonathan. Yeah. And then Ed Sullivan
because
wins.
That to me is the real contest. Who can click the button first?
Well, this time you're not even going to click the button first.
Really?
You possibly could, but you'll have no idea what the answer is. I'm guessing. I could be wrong. No. You're a DJ. You know a lot about different kinds of music.
You don't put DJ songs on there.
All right. You ready?
Ready.
He was looking for a place called Lee Ho Folks. Ooh.
Lee Ho Folks?
Yes.
That would be Werewolves of London, Warren Zevon.
That is correct.
I had it. I knew it.
You knew it.
I knew it. He got to the button before I did.
And, well, who co-wrote that song, Jonathan?
Willie Nelson.
No, it was Waddy Wachtel.
Oh, see.
And I didn't even finish. I was going to say four to get a big dish of beef chow mein.
Now, the reason that I know that is Warren Zevon is because Adam Sandler does an unbelievable cover, and I listen to a radio station in the morning.
Adam Sandler does a cover of Werewolves of London?
It's fantastic.
Really?
So the radio station, when he launched the album that he did, they had him on, and they played a bit of it, and I'm like, holy crap, that's really good. And I went to search it. It was available on iTunes, and I saw Warren Zevon had his version, too. And,
all right.
Here's some more fun facts about that song. The rhythm section for that song was from Fleetwood Mac.
Wow.
And I think they did something like 100 or 80 takes of that song and decided, the second one was good.
No shit. Wow. Why do you know so much about that? And why did I think you were going to know that without a doubt?
Warren Zevon's one of my favorites.
All right. I must have heard that before. Mm-hmm. There was something on my mind when I saw that. And I said, you know what? Ed Sullivan's going to get this answer.
So you cheated.
No. And Jonathan is going to end up saying, I would have got that one. But
yeah. And he would have, I think.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
I knew it.
Yeah. You know things.
No, I would have guessed he wouldn't have known.
I was trying not to piss him off and let him finish, but you buzzed in. There was no there was no way to stop it.
All right, so pricing starts to go crazy in the cigar industry. We saw it the past couple of years really bad. I go to the trade show this year, and what happens is I witness what I penned the McAuliffe effect.
Because they did it 1 year before.
Yes.
They had it out before.
And then we made it the cigar of the year. And then they're coming to the next show, and they said, oh, my God, and we knew in advance because it was in the care package, so we already knew that they're going to come in at a $7 and $8 cigar, which people are saying maybe even better than the McAuliffe Black is the McAuliffe Blue. I've been hearing people say it. But yeah. It's selling like crazy already. It wasn't out yet, but they had said, this is what we're putting out. Mm-hmm. I go to the trade show area where they are, and there's a whole bunch of people around. They have smiles on their faces. They said, oh, my God, it's been really good the first day of the show, which the smaller companies tend not to do so well at the there. But they were hot. Something ended up happening. And other manufacturers took notice of that. Not this year. Yes, they did take notice this year as they were getting hot. But they took notice before the show even happened. And I imagine, just cough right into it.
Sorry.
He redirected it right into
right
the microphone.
That was a mistake. I'm sorry. I should have flipped the mic up.
So they The manufacturers who came out with $20 cigars the past 2 years, this year showed up at the trade show, and they had cigars under $10.
Hmm.
And I said, isn't this interesting as I was going around? Were there $20-plus cigars at the show? Yes, they were. They were from people that didn't come out with $20 cigars the past 2 years.
They hadn't made the mistake yet.
Correct.
They waited and copied too late.
Yes. This is what I think really happened. And at the end of the show, I don't have a lot to say about, oh, this cigar was hot and this cigar was hot. A change has happened in the industry, I'm happy to say, because it is, listen, the economy is in trouble right now. I've been saying it for a long time. For whatever reason, it just doesn't fall flat. It just keeps trickling along, and I go.
It's the same with every election year. They'll keep it propped up until the election.
All right, so that's what's going on there. Whatever ends up happening, there is a shift to where cigars should be, which is under $10. For the masses. Is there a place for an Opus X and a Davidoff and an Atabey and a Padron? Absolutely, there's a place for it.
Listen, everybody needs a special occasion cigar.
Yeah, those are birthday cigars, New Year cigars,
Christmas
cigars.
It needs to actually be special.
Right.
And every single brand cannot have their version of this special cigar because it's not all that special, especially if you have nothing to discuss with.
Right.
And I mentioned El Septimo on somebody else's
cigar
show.
Pulpit,
yeah, that he had me on there, and he went, ooh. And I said, and I don't want to beat them up either, but you have to explain to me why this cigar is $80. There needs to be something that, why is this $80? I smoked it. It's not 80 as far as taste goes, but that doesn't mean anything.
But if
maybe
you-
it's 10-year post-age. Maybe it's the first person to ever invent a Dominican wrapper on a cigar or all Cameroon wrapper when it comes to Aladino, who's got a $22 cigar coming out. There's a reason for it. I don't like that it's $22, but there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
Research development in order to get that. You got nothing, and you said it's $80 because...
Well, if you own a multi-million dollar lighter, you need an $80 cigar to light with it.
I think that's backwards, Ed Sullivan. I think you light the cigar with the lighter.
Did they have any of the jewel stuff at the booth this year?
I'm sure. I don't know. I've lost.
You didn't go?
No, I've lost. The first year I looked, it was the shiny thing, and then there was no juice. There's no the juice ain't worth the squeeze to me or whatever. Please give me a reason for it. You know, I don't mean to call you out either. This is for the better of the cigar industry, not for the worse. I'm not trying to hurt the cigar industry as I'm saying it. I say that there's a place for everything. They came out with new cigars. And they're lower price cigars. So listen, it is time for a correction. If everybody realized, well, that didn't go as planned or whatever, you make the correction, you do it, and you hope somebody like me doesn't bring it up. But I ended up bringing it up in a way that, wow, I saw the change end up happening, and I'm happy to see it. That's what ended up happening, hopefully it goes in the better direction going forward. So that is it. That is it for the after show. I wanted to touch on that. Next week, speaking of the McAuliffe effect, business tycoon, factory cigar owner, Al McAuliffe joins us live in studio. I know he has heard mention of what I just said. Maybe he'll give our 2 cents. Listen, they came out when they first came out, and their cigars were expensive.
Yep.
And what did they do? Is he a smart businessman and said, oh, we're doing really good selling these expensive cigars. Let's come out with cheaper ones? I don't think so. I think he saw the writing on the wall before I saw the writing on the wall. That's why I give them props, because I think they did it right before everybody else did, as Perdomo did years ago when he made his move and different things there. We'll catch you with Al McAuliffe Saturday on the Cigar Authority.
Stick the lid end in your mouth. You might like it.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, or callers of this program do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Studio 21, Podcast Cafe, the United Podcast Network, its partners or affiliates.